Thank you all for standing by. At this time, I just want to remind all parties today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. If you wish to mute your phone, please press star 6 to mute, star 6 to unmute. I'll now turn the call over to your host, and you may proceed.
Thank you very much, Lou. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is the Policy and Implementation Principles Subteam meeting on the 16th of January, 2014. On the call today, we have Chuck Jones, Sarah Langanore, Michael Graham, and Nick Steinbach. We have an apology from J. Scott Evans, and from staff, we have Mary Wong and myself, Natalie Peregrine. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Thank you. Welcome to those of you that are on the call today. I'll give the opportunity for any updates to statements of interest. If anyone has any, speak up or raise your hand now. And not hearing or seeing any, let's move right into our work. As I indicated on an email, would really like to wrap up the overarching principle as much as we can today, early in our meeting, understanding that everything we're doing may evolve over time as we learn more. So let me just right now ask if any of those on the call have any more suggestions, comments, questions on the overarching principle, which is on the screen in Adobe, for those that are in Adobe.
Chuck, this is Michael, for the record.
Go for it.
I just wanted to point out that we were making, and I don't think that we've received any objections to it yet, and by tomorrow it would be incorporated. A minor change to the definition of multi-stakeholder model, and that change that's being proposed by the definition subteam is to the term self-governance. I looked at that, and it was a bit confusing as to what was being governed, and so my suggestion to that team, and Maureen at least so far has agreed to it, is to replace self-hyphen by organizational, so that it would read multi-stakeholder is an organizational framework or structure for organizational governance or policy making, dot, dot, dot.
Thank you, Michael. This is Chuck. And as we agreed last time, the plan, of course, is to include whatever definition comes out of the definition subteam in this overarching principle so that we're consistent there. So as that changes, of course, we'll update this. Anybody else have any comments or questions on the overarching principle? Okay. Can we then let's go ahead and continue in the document and start making our way through it. And so first of all, then we have the category GNSO policy and implementation processes. It's on the screen now. The statement that says must both be based in the ICAM multi-stakeholder model. And let me just pause there. Any comments, suggestions on that statement? Everybody on board there? Okay. And then we have a couple of sub-bullets. So we say to ensure, and everybody's in Adobe, it looks like now. No comments have been submitted on those two bullets to date that I'm aware of, or the footnotes. Any comments or questions on those?
Hey, Chuck, this is Nick. I think I did submit a comment on that second one. So just on the clause where it says implementation processes need not function about a manner except in cases where new policy is introduced, I'm not sure why we're including except in cases where new policy is introduced if we kind of have the understanding that implementation doesn't introduce new policy, which was kind of the understanding that I had from when we were talking about the difference between implementation and policy development.
Thanks, Nick, and thanks for sharing that. I'm not sure I had thought I had printed off a document that had all of the comments, but I printed off the wrong one. Okay. Oh, this one I printed off I thought was the most recent from Marika, but it wasn't. So, all right, good. I intended to have that document in front of me, which I don't. Now, so you were talking about the second bullet, is that right?
Yep, that's correct. So I just I would just strike except in cases where new policy is introduced, unless we're comfortable saying that implementation can introduce policy. I'm just uncomfortable. I don't think implementation should ever result
in policy. Let's talk about that, okay? Because we certainly, in the case of the new GTLD program, by the way, this is Chuck talking again. We certainly, in the case of the new GTLD program, did run into cases where arguments could be made that new policy was introduced. Now, people had different opinions, but I don't think we can assume that that will never be the case because we learn things, new players come into play that maybe weren't involved early like we would have liked them to have been. So what do others think in that regard? It seems to me that we can't assume that new policy will not be introduced. Not that it should be introduced via an implementation process, but it might actually have to involve the policymaking body. Anybody want to comment on that? Cheryl. Cheryl, are you on mute or in the shower? Sorry about that comment. We were those that came in later. Go ahead, Cheryl. You're not
hello,
hearing
am I off,
you.
Am I off mute yet?
Oh, there you go. Now you are.
Yay! Sorry. Okay. It shouldn't have taken this long, but never mind. Nick, I hear what you're saying, and I certainly understand the point of view, but being very cognizant of the examples, and I'm sure of others, if we had our crystal ball in the future, such as Chuck outlined, with new GTLD program and implementation, I wonder, Nick, if you see actual detriment to leaving the sentence in. If I understand why you'd want to take it out, but based on what Chuck has said, is there harm at leaving it in? Thank you.
Nick?
Yeah, Chuck, can I respond to that?
Yes, please do. That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the harm that I would see is that if policy is introduced in an implementation process, someone could point to that clause as kind of a way to acknowledge that it is something that can happen and maybe even happens appropriately. So I guess the harm would be that it kind of makes it okay to introduce policy at the implementation process or at that stage. So that's kind of the harm that I saw.
Thanks, Nick. This is Chuck. Let me turn it over to Michael.
Yeah, I want to address that as well. I think I understand Nick's concern, but I think that what we wanted to include here, and perhaps there's a better way of doing that, and actually I had a comment on the first bullet item as well, a way of doing that is to make clear that if in the implementation process it arises that a policy decision or development becomes necessary or desirable, then at that point it reverts to a bottom-up process. I think it is unclear because the way this is phrased within that implementation process that new policy introduction would be appropriate. And I think that's the confusion that Nick wants to avoid, and I think I would agree with that. But perhaps what we need to do is to note that somehow that in the course of implementation, it may be necessary or desirable to return to a bottom-up policy development type of procedure. And I don't know how we do that without muddying the water, and perhaps by taking that clause out of this and perhaps indicating that the implementation process should not include any policy development, we might handle that. I'm not quite sure how. If I could, just very quickly, because it's the same structure in both of these that I was going to say something about, and I thought I had submitted something on it, and that is it's a little confusing how we have that first bullet punctuated. We have the semicolon followed by a clause followed by "and the process," which actually refers to the first clause prior to the semicolon. And I was looking at that, and I think my suggestion was to use a dash before accept and after stability.
Yeah, or we could eliminate, this is Chuck, we could eliminate the semicolon.
Yeah, we could do that, replace it with a comma. I was suggesting to use a dash merely because dashes for me tend to set off what's within those as an exception or something outside the bounds, whereas commas leave it within the ordinary course of that process.
I'm okay with the dash. Anybody opposed to that? And Mary, I'm assuming that you're capturing this. Looks like you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck. Yes, this is Mary, and I'm the one with the impatient typing fingers today. So first of all, Nick and Michael, I'm sorry if this is not the latest version. This is what I pulled, and there may well have been a later version that I missed, so I apologize for that. Secondly, Chuck, on Michael's last point, it's unless you wanted to put that phrase "except in emergency cases" either at the beginning or at the end of a separate sentence or something like that, so that it's less confusing. Because my assumption, and I'm coming somewhat fresh to this, because even though I've been following the discussions, Marika has taken the lead in terms of staff support for this subteam, that the emergency cases that you're talking about really are exceptional cases, right? They're not just emergencies, but they're emergencies and exceptional cases. So it might make it clearer if that phrase stayed in somewhere, but not in the middle of the sentence.
So what you're, this is Chuck. So Mary, what you're suggesting, and Michael, I'll ask you to respond to this, is to put "except in emergency cases such as risk to security and stability," that at the beginning. "Policy development process must function in a bottom-up manner, and the process must not be made by a top-level group and then imposed on stakeholders." Is that correct?
Yes, Chuck. That would be my suggestion, and I did have a comment about the second part of the sentence, but I can hold off on that while we discuss this phrase.
If Michael's comfortable with that part, and then you can pick up on that.
I just wonder if semantically we want to have the exception before the rule, or have that follow. I think that would be a good solution, though, having it in one place or the other, Mary.
So we could put it at the end instead of at the beginning. So it would say policy development processes must function in a bottom-up manner, and the process must not be made by a top-level group and then imposed on stakeholders except in emergency cases and so on.
You know what, Mary, could you live if we had we ended "shareholders" a period and then began "an exception may be in emergency cases such as risk to security and stability"?
So make it two sentences.
Yeah.
Mary, thoughts on that?
I agree with Michael that the semantics might look a little odd if we had the except in the beginning, although that would also be clear. So this may be the better solution.
Okay. If there are no objections, let's go with that. Make it two sentences with the exception language in the second sentence.
Yeah, and you want to add, Mary, are you doing the typing or is...
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. I wonder, an exception may be made...
Yes.
Emergency cases?
Good. And I think I saw an agree from Cheryl flash up there just briefly. So, yep, another one. Thank you.
And, Chuck, I did have a comment about the second part of the first, what is now the first sentence.
Okay.
I know what it's getting at, and I'm coming at this as a reasonably fresh reader, having not looked at this document in a little while, when it says the process must not be made by a top-level group. I'm not sure that it's the process that's made. Is it the process that's conducted and the decision that's made? And what does the group mean by a top-level group?
This is Chuck. That's a good point. Maybe we should say in a top-down manner. And then imposed on stakeholders?
That would probably be more familiar to ICANN community members. I'm just pointing it out
to find out if others felt the same way. It's a good catch. And if somebody has a better suggestion than what I just suggested, please speak up. Again, we will be able to fix these things further, but I think that's an improvement. Okay, so let's go back then to the second bullet and see if we can fix that. Because, Nick, I also agree with your concern. So let me make that clear right up front. And so let's see if we can address that concern by fixing the wording here. Because my point wasn't that policy may be developed in an implementation process, but rather that new policy work may be identified in an implementation process, and then, of course, that work needs to go back to the policy development body. So I think we're in sync in terms of your concern. Let's just figure out how to fix it in that second bullet. So if anybody has any suggestions there, please speak up. And by the way, we're a small enough group today that you can just speak out, and we know each other well enough that I think we can do that comfortably. And if somebody isn't finished when you speak up, they'll let us know. So just go ahead and speak out. Mary.
Thanks, Chuck. And I've inserted a suggestion there for the second bullet point. I don't know if it makes things any clearer. I just wanted to point it out. And I see in the chat that Michael's got the further suggestions for the first bullet point.
Yeah, I was just trying to draw that all together. It's Michael, for the record. Just trying to draw that all together so that last sentence, when we made it a sentence, I think we lost a little bit of the relation of it, maybe just doing the comma, and then although an exception relates that back to the entire thing better.
Oh, I see Alan has joined us. Or he will be joining us in a moment. Okay. And he has a comment as well. So, okay, so we'll let him comment when he jumps in. So, did you capture that then in that first bullet, Mary? Let me see.
Yeah, I'm going to try and do it now. I did have an additional comment because, you know, we are, if however we do it, whether we do it in two sentences or in what I think is Michael's better suggestion in the chat, we seem to be repeating processes in a bottom-up manner. So, for example, we say The policy development processes must function in a bottom-up manner, and the process must not be conducted in a top-down manner. So that's sort of, you know, six of one and a half dozen of the other. So I wonder whether in the second part, when we're talking about the process not in a top-down manner, whether we're really talking about, are we talking about the who makes the decision and how it's made? Are we talking about the manner and the process in which decisions are ultimately arrived at? It seems a little repetitive at this point.
This is Chuck. I think, and I'm coming to you in just a second, Alan. Do we have to we say at the beginning that it has to be bottom up? Do we need to say that it can't be imposed top down? Is that saying the same thing two different ways?
Can I jump in, Chuck? I've got a question about the same sort of issue.
Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah.
And by the way, I don't know if you heard me before, if you were on the audio, but you can go ahead and speak out. We have a really small group, so
okay.
If you want to just jump in, we'll all try to be as polite as possible. We won't always succeed, but I think we can all deal with it.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Chuck. One of the questions, let me ask a question first and then a comment. Do we all know what we mean by bottom-up? Because I've heard comments that if something is requested, for instance, by the CEO or the board, and if the request is then made to, as an example, the GNSO, that's not bottom-up because it didn't start there. I think we need to make sure that we're using even those simple terms in a way that is consistent and understood, because otherwise, to say that a policy issue divined during implementation must be bottom up is almost a conflict in terms. If you believe bottom up means the idea must have come from the bottom.
Well, thanks. This is Chuck, Alan. Boy, that surprises me. I get what you're saying, but I've never interpreted bottom-up that means that the idea has to come from the bottom. In other words, a board member or the CEO couldn't make a suggestion for consideration in a bottom-up process. Because they're not at the bottom?
Yeah, Chuck, I haven't used it that way either, but I have. And the specific instance, I'll tell you what it was. It was in Buenos Aires when Fatty, this is with regarding OneNet, Fatty said, we want a cross-community working group to set the direction that ICANN will follow. And because that was initiated, requested by the CEO, it was deemed to be not bottom-up by certain people. And that's what caused my concern. Back to the original point, if we mean bottom up by what we're meaning, that is the decision process has to involve those in the whole pyramid, then I think bottom up is the opposite of top down. I think.
I would agree with that. This is Chuck. So, obviously we can get hung up on a lot of these terms with corner cases by a few people. I don't know how much we want to do that. My inclination, one approach, of course, would be to go back to the definitions of the group. Would you please define bottom up and make sure that it covers the corner case? My inclination would be that let's go with it with the understanding that we have. If we find later that it might be useful, we do it then.
Yeah, we certainly could put a footnote in saying this is what we mean by bottom up. Just to, if someone wants to say, hey, that's not a real good definition, then we can go back to square one and try to define it. But I just want to make sure we're not getting into situations where we have impossibilities. To address the specific question.
Well, hold on a second,
yeah,
Alan. Before
okay.
you do that, let me. Michael, did you want to talk about the footnote idea?
Well, I like the footnote idea, and I think what we need to point out is that when we're saying policy development processes must function in a bottom-up manner, the footnote there might read something to the effect of, or insert, regardless of the origination of the issue or topic to be handled in the policy development process, which may derive either from stakeholders, board members, wherever, or we could say regardless of where the issue derives. Because I think it's sort of clear to me, and Alan, it sounded like you were noting this as well, that it's pretty clear that when we're using bottom-up manner here, we're referring to the policy development process and not the source of the issue for that process, but that in Buenos Aires, somebody was equating the origination somehow as affecting whether or not it was bottom-up, which, I think we need to make clear, it doesn't matter where the issue being developed as policy comes from, whether it's requested from the board, from constituencies, or from the GAC, but the process that we're talking about has to be bottom-up, and that's...
If I may interject, Michael, I don't think there's any doubt that the comment I referred to from Buenos Aires didn't have a lot of substance. Remember, even the formal PDP with capital letters can be requested by the board.
Right.
So I don't think it had a lot of base. A lot. It wasn't very defendable, but it's a statement that's been made, and I've heard similar ones in other contexts.
And
that's why I was worrying.
Yeah, and it's Michael, and I guess one of the difficult issues is at what point do we say this is such a aberrant issue that it's something that we needn't deal with, but I think dealing with it in a footnote is probably a good way to put that aside.
Yeah, okay. I have it's Alan. I have an overall question, and there in the second bullet, which just disappeared, but when Chuck was talking about it before, he said it has to be referred back to the, to the GNSO or to the policy body. I guess I'd like to play a mind game and say, let's pretend we're starting the new GTLD process all over again, and let's say we have come by that time, we have a way of recognizing because of its color or smell what is policy and what is not. I can't imagine of the hundreds, maybe thousands of decisions that were taken in that overall implementation process, how many of them might have been deemed policy, and yet were resolved in an equitable way by discussion without reverting to a formal, sending it back to the GNSO for a decision.
And I want to
make sure that what we're going to end up building out of this is not so rigid that difficult implementations will never be accomplishable.
Yeah, this is Chuck, and I'm not in disagreement with you there. I don't think that referring it back to, and maybe we can word it differently,
yeah,
but I don't think that referring it back to the policy development body necessarily means that there has to be a rigorous process, a new PDP, or something like that. So I'm not in disagreement with you there. I guess what we need to do is figure out how to word it in such a way. The key is that if it is a policy issue, there should be this, the full community, at least the impacted community members, should be involved in moving that forward. It shouldn't be just a top-down implementation decision is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, Chuck, and I agree with you 100%, but there's a big difference between the community being involved in a discussion and referring it to the policy body, which in the case of the GNSO, we know the GNSO is not allowed to, under its current operating rules, make decisions itself, which means it would have to charter some other group or refer to some other group and push it down and then come all the way back. and yet for the majority of the decisions that were made like that, they weren't really controversial. We ended up with a couple that were very, but there were many that were not particularly controversial.
So, Alan, this is Chuck. Do you have a suggestion? I think we're in agreement in terms of principles. How could we word this so that it addresses your concern and mine?
I think that's what our overall work group is doing. Is going to be coming out with the methodology to do those things. So I think our principle has to be more general than making a reference to referring it to the policy body. I think the principle we're talking about says that, and you said it a moment ago, the people that are going to be impacted or affected must be involved in the decision process.
Maybe that's what we say.
Yeah. Because I think the more detailed one, and it's going to be difficult, because we don't have a litmus test to say it's red or purple, policy or not, is going to be the more difficult part, and I think that's why this whole working group exists.
So where are we at then, this is Chuck, on the second bullet, if we want to use the wording that Alan just gave us? Mary, are you staying with us?
Yes, I think I know what Alan is getting at, but if he wouldn't mind repeating the actual words, because I don't think I captured those. And are we talking about rewriting this particular sentence as well?
I'm not sure, because I don't think what Chuck said, that is, must be referred back to the I think if you replace policy development body by those impacted or affected by the decision, then I think you fix it.
Chuck, this is Mary. May I jump in here?
Absolutely. Remember, I said you can jump in.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
We didn't think it referred to Mary, though. Jump in, too. We've got a relatively small group. I do see your hand, though, Aubrey, so I will call on you. But if you get a chance to jump in first, feel free.
So, Alan, I think I know what you're getting at. However, when you said all those affected, that could be a really broad swath of individuals as well as organizational bodies. It could be a constituency. It could be the ALAC or the GAC. It could also be, and in this particular case, I'm thinking of some of the GNSO working groups where the working group participants aren't necessarily affiliated with a stakeholder group or an advisory committee. They may be representing a corporation or, an IGO or something, in which case the wording would be broad enough to include those folks and their organizations. And that may be what's intended, but that would be a very different and far broader category than what we have here currently, which is policy development body.
So how about if we Chuck, how about if we try this for that second bullet?
How about if we keep it the way it is?
What do you mean? Implementation processes need not function in a bottom-up manner, we moved the exception to the end. Okay, so you don't want to add what Alan is suggesting, Aubrey?
No, I'm against adding what Alan's suggesting. I think it has to go back to the policy development body. It's the only one that can determine how to go about dealing with the issue and how to reach all the affected parties. So you've got to have one address for things to come back to. And so the one address has to be the group that develops the policy recommendation that the implementation is based on. And or to their designated subcommittee. One assumes that we will have these implementation groups that are really the vehicles for getting these things dealt with. But it can't just go back to, oh, dear staff, please find the right people and make sure they know. It has to come back to one address. Thanks.
But isn't that the principle? Isn't that the policy we're looking?
Remember to state your name. We all
it's
know.
It's sorry. It's Alan speaking. Isn't that the outcome of this overall process? Not the principle. The principle says don't make change. I would have thought is don't make changes to an established policy without considering those who will be affected by it.
I think that no. I think it has to go back to the policy group that considered it, because they are the ones that considered all the opinions. Otherwise, you're constantly reopening the issue to the whole policy development process, as opposed to a continuation and checking with what the development process already did.
Mary, you want to jump in?
Yes, I do, Chuck, and I'm wondering if we're talking about two slightly different things in this one sentence. First, if we go back to Nick's comment, which is now here on the screen, he's really talking about that phrase that starts, except, and that seems to me to concern issues or cases where things that look like policy pop up halfway through implementation. The question there is, what happens? Can we do bottom-up, top-down, et cetera? The other piece seems to me is what Avery and Alan are talking about, which is, well, they talk about a little bit of that too, but which is the last part of the sentence where in the current phrasing we have involving the policy development body concerned, or in Cheryl's suggested language, the chartering organization. They are involved to confirm that the implementation is correct. So it seems to me there's two slightly different things. First, what happens if during implementation new policy issues come up? What do we do? Where does it go to? And secondly, perhaps relatedly, during implementation, how and when do you go back to the original body?
It's Alan. I think Mary's made a good call. That I'm not sure that fixes the problem that the debate that Avery and I are having. But she's identified the fact that these we may be mixing and matching the two halves of the sentence.
Well, we can always, of course, separate it in the two bullets. This is Chuck. If we need to, Aubrey, did you want to respond to Mary's comment?
I thought Mary's comment made sense. I mean, I'm happy with the way it's written now, I think. I just didn't like the delta out to all the world. And I think, yeah, what she said makes sense.
Yeah, I want to this is Chuck. I want to come back to your comments too, Aubrey, because in an effort to try and nudge the registry stakeholder group in getting some comments to our request for comments from the SGs and constituencies, I drafted up some responses to that long list of questions that we sent in our letter. And one of them was this very question, what happens in these kind of cases? And my draft response, my personal response that I put in front of the registry stakeholder group is, yeah, it's got to come back to the policy development body, just like Aubrey said. And like I said earlier, Alan, I don't think that necessarily means that it has to that we can't figure out new ways without doing an issues report and approving a PDP and da 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 da. But maybe those are details that we get into in our principles as we get a little further along, or maybe we cover it in a footnote here. I don't know. So what
well,
we
don't
need
policy
to do
development
ahead,
process already.
I'm sorry, you broke up a little bit.
How'd you know I was talking? I had it muted.
Oh, really? I was hearing your voice.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's so weird. So maybe my muting did not work. Gee, and all these times I've been shouting at the mic, people have been hearing me. Oh, no. But anyway, I think that the PDP process has already built that in. And maybe we need to expand that, but that whole notion of, you know, leaving open implementation teams. So I don't see where the argument that this requires a whole new issues report, unless it really is a new policy issue that's never been considered before. But in most cases, what you're going to be getting back is a statement or restatement of the policy recommendation and its implication with regard to the implementation issue. And so you won't need to go through. It's only if the implementation has really touched off a brand new policy issue that's never been seen before, in which case we'd have to do some sort of bigger process. But for the most part, if it's a PDP, we've already got these implementation teams that are supposed to help with this kind of issue. And if it's not a PDP, the council itself can deal with that kind of issue and say, but no, look at the report. It was discussed. This is going against that, perhaps. And so I don't really see the gigantic problem with the processes. And, you know, we may need to create some changes to some small ones to make it properly work. But I think the process is already there for this to be dealt with in the GNSO as a GNSO policy implementation issue. Thanks.
Thanks, Aubrey. And Alan, I'll give you a chance to respond to that. But I'd also like the others on the call to jump in and pick a side or create a new one, a third option or something. But let's try and come to some kind of closure on this, understanding that the full group will get a chance to look at it, and we'll all get a chance to look at it again. So, Alan, did you want to respond?
I guess I don't disagree that the GNSO could come up with ways of doing things, but right now it doesn't have any, and there's been little inclination to create other processes. If we're talking about something simple, it's not a problem, and it works the way Avery just described. But if we ever attempt anything as complex as the new GTLD process again, and the policy proxy, the proxy and privacy one may end up being, you know, a little bit of that, it's really a Russian doll type issue that there was no policy issue to be discussed that we understood with regard to something particular, or we chose not to discuss it, but when you come down to the implementation, there's details that become obvious. And it's those that I worry about, and making sure that if they're not really onerous ones, some of them might be, but if they're not really onerous ones, that we have a fast path way of going through this.
So
excuse me for a second, but these are not necessarily easy things to solve, but I think at the principle level, we shouldn't be imposing the answer.
Let me throw it out now. This is Chuck, to Cheryl and Michael and Nick, to see if they can share any wisdom on this.
This is Michael for the record. I'm just going to attach to Alan's last statement. I think he's dead on that we should not limit the definition in at this point, where we're still speaking of general principles. That's a discussion that we definitely have to get into as we're getting into some of these other areas of processes. But I think at this point, that might really constrain then the process rather than clarifying it.
So this is Chuck. Michael, what are we constraining? I didn't get that. By saying that it should go back to the policy development body, is that what you're talking about?
That's what I was thinking. I mean, as general a statement as that might be okay, just to have that clarity.
I'm sorry. So, in other words, are you saying that it would be, this is Chuck, that it would be okay to say that it should go back to the policy development body?
Or to a policy development body?
It can be the chartering, Cheryl here, it can be the chartering organization if you're going to use that language.
Remember, we're only talking about GNSO, GTLD policy here.
And I'm using the language that comes from the guidelines, Alan.
This is Michael. I could agree with what Cheryl just suggested.
Which was going back to the chartering organization?
Correct.
Or going back to the GNSO, because we really are talking about the GNSO in this case, like Alan pointed out.
Yeah, I mean, accepting that limitation, I think we could say GNSO because we'll be asked to do that if we don't do it ourselves.
Thanks. Nick, Cheryl, anything else to add?
No, I don't think.
Yeah. Nick, I'd like, if there's going to be any major change in language, I think we need to see the language.
Yeah, okay. Well, Mary, do you have what you need? Oh, your hand's up. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chuck. Well, a couple of things, I guess. And first, following up on Avi's point about implementation review teams in the GNSO, it's true that that seems to be becoming something that's customary, but I don't believe that it's at the moment something that's mandatory. It may be something that doesn't have to be mandatory. So in approving, say, a PDP recommendation, the council may, although it doesn't have to, create an implementation team. That, Chuck, I guess may change as the council continues to talk about policy and engagement with the GAC and so forth. So that may well change, but that's the status quo at the moment. And so that is relevant to the second bullet point in terms of involving the policy development body or the chartering organization to confirm that implementation is going as intended. Secondly, in terms of your question as to whether I have what I need, I think Alan is suggesting that the second bullet point is a single sentence. And Chuck, I don't know if you're looking at the Adobe Connect screen or whether you're looking at a different one. And so what I did was I kept that as a single sentence and broke out the other issue. Basically, I'm going to call it Nick's issue, if you don't mind, Nick, into a third bullet point. It seems to me that what everyone is saying is that, you know, in both cases, A, confirming that implementation is going as intended, and B, if there's new policy issues, that basically the original organization needs to be involved or needs to go back to them in some way. But I wonder if it would be easier to have them as separate bullet points. I think you yourself may have suggested that earlier, Chuck.
That as a possibility, yes.
So just to confirm that, I guess we're still talking about the second bullet point.
So we have the second bullet point. It's broken out into two right now, correct? So it says the implementation processes need not function in a bottom-up manner, and why does it say although? And then
I changed the and to although, but I can change it back to and.
Oh, okay. No. Okay. I'm sorry. The screen's just a little bit hard to read, so I think the and was crossed off, right? That's what I was missing. Okay, so
yeah.
That's correct.
So in a bottom-up manner, although in all cases the relevant policy development body, e.g. chartering organization, must be involved to confirm that policies are implemented as intended. Okay, so let me stop there.
Anybody
opposed to that wording or any other edits to it? Go ahead, Alan.
Chuck, it's Alan. I think if you replace the and although with but, it reads properly.
I'm sorry, replace
and although with but.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. Yeah. Yeah. I'm okay with that. Any objections to that? Thanks, Ellen. And then we have an additional bullet that says, in cases where new or additional policy issues are introduced during an implementation process, and of course we have to finish that if we decide to include that. So I personally like the idea of separating that. I think it makes it a little bit easier to deal with. So let me let you speak up instead of me doing so in terms of, okay, in cases where new or additional policies are introduced during an implementation process, and this is what we were debating, for quite a while there, are we okay with saying that it, similar to what we said above, the relevant policy development body must be involved? Does that apply there as well? And I see an agree by Aubrey. What do the rest of you think? Anybody disagree with that?
Well, it's Alan. I've already put my stake in the ground. I think that's a little bit too specific for the principle. It may well be the outcome. But I'm not going to...
Well,
I don't have a veto.
Can you debate it here? This is Chuck.
I personally think this is Aubrey. I think it is a principle. I think it goes to that. It's not a problem. It's not a solution. It's a principle. Somebody gives you a recommendation. You're not following it. You go back to the people that gave you the recommendation. That's principle level.
Okay. I'm going to suggest a way forward on this, okay? I'm going to suggest that we leave it that way. In other words, that it goes back to the relevant policy development body. And then, Alan, what I would like to ask you to do is to put a string around one of your fingers, or and I'm suspecting that your concern may be addressed in other tasks that we, as a full working group, are going to have to do when we're done with this. So what I would suggest, Alan, is that if we don't properly address your concern in other ways in the output from the whole working group, then certainly, and you'd have this option anyway, whether I say it or not, let's come back and see if we can address your concern. Any objections to proceeding that way, Alan?
No objection, but I will make a comment on what I said. If the situation were what Avery just described, I have far less concern. Typically, it's not that they are not following the policy, therefore you have to go back to the group that created the policy. It's the output of the policy process was silent on something that just hadn't been considered. And those are the more difficult ones, and those are the ones that I think may be a little bit iffy, because in many cases they're not going to be onerous policy decisions. But I can live with what you said, Chuck.
Okay, thanks, Alan. And this is Chuck. My response to that is shouldn't even in that case it go back to the policy development body?
Maybe.
If they were
yes, it should, Chuck. It's Cheryl. Yes, it should.
Thanks, Cheryl. Okay, all right. Anything else on those two bullets? And by the way, I think, Mary, that you do have the right version up, and that one I had printed off is not the right version, because I do see Nick's comment now shown. Now, Nick, have we addressed your concern now?
Yeah, I mean, I think the way it's worded does address my concern, I guess. I'm not sure that second bullet point is, I guess that's a little bit outside of what I was considering an implementation process. But that being said, then I think it does work that way.
Process in the sense that it's, so I think you're right. but it's still related to what we're talking about, I think. So,
yeah, now, I think so.
Okay, thanks, Nick. Alan, I'm going to come back to you because you weren't on the call at the beginning. You had said in our last call that you wanted to see that overarching principle in writing and that you reserved the right, which, of course, you really didn't have to reserve. You had it anyway, to comment on that overarching principle. I never did see anything in writing from you in advance of this meeting. But I'm backtracking a little bit since you weren't on at the beginning of the call. Are you okay with the overarching principle?
I'll be honest enough to tell you I hadn't read it. in the time I was given to read it. I will read it at the end of this meeting and come and go back and send something to the email.
Please do it on the list so that we can deal with that, because we spent the whole meeting last time on that overarching principle, and I really wanted to move on from there. Again, like I qualified earlier in this call, of course a lot of these things will evolve and change as we learn more and as we get better at what we're doing. But for right now, let's move forward. Okay?
Yep.
All right, so now we are going to – we covered Nick's comment. Now, there's a double asterisk there that just talks about my comments. I don't think we need – do we need that text anymore? That's just a qualifier, I think, in terms of we're going to look at the wording step by step. So I don't think we need the double asterisk there. And you've got it deleted already, Mary. Okay, not hearing anything different. So now we come to additional proposed principles. And I think this is where I had commented, and I don't have my comments in front of me, that I'm not sure some of these seem to duplicate what we are doing up above. Is that true? So let's just look at number one. Policy and implementation process must both be based in the multi-stakeholder model. And, of course, that came out of, as you can see in the parenthetical, that came out of the drafting team. Is that an okay additional principle? Any objections to that? Any changes to that? And then we have the comments below that. Marika had said that do we need to define be based on? Again, we can get so precise in terms of what we define that we can spend a year.
Chuck, what is this adding that isn't already captured before it?
Well, where do we say that up above, Alan?
I
thought that at first, too, but then I started thinking about it. But honest question, where do we say
well,
that?
Well, the overarching period talks about the multi-stakeholder model, which I'm assuming is there because we are using it. Sorry, I can't scroll anymore.
My concern on this one is exactly what staff and I guess ultimately the board did with regard to one particular implementation issue, and I'm blank on which one that was, in the new GTLD program, where they came back and said, well, this is an implementation issue, so we don't have to go back to the GNSO. And this is probably why Aubrey and I both think that that is a really key principle. But she's got her hand up, so let me let her talk.
Yeah, basically, you said it in the last line. We nowhere else have we said that when we and this is kind of breaking it into further detail. When we say that everything is multi-stakeholder, we mean policy and implementation, and that they must be both based. And so, can you extrapolate this from everything must be multi-stakeholder, which is I'm not quite sure that's the exact wording we use. We say policy development must be. What we're saying here is that not only the policy development, but its implementation is also something that has to be multi-stakeholder. And, you know, I think Marika was sort of backing off of that and looking into what does is based on mean, and perhaps there should be a different standard and such, whereas I think both Chuck and I seem to be saying that, no, they are multi-stakeholder, that the roles and responsibilities inside those may vary, but nonetheless, it is multi-stakeholder. Thanks.
Cheryl here, Chuck.
Go ahead, Cheryl. And Mary, we'll get to you too, sorry.
Yeah, sorry, Mary, I'm just on audio while I'm driving. Sorry, darling.
I see no
reason why this shouldn't be restated in this section. Yes, I agree it is alluded to in the overarching principle / preamble, but I think a belts and braces approach here needs to be taken, and I would support it being absolutely and clearly articulated along the lines of what Chuck and Avery have just said.
Thanks, Cheryl. Mary, I'm sorry to bypass you there. Go ahead.
Not at all, Chuck.
You've got to be more aggressive and just speak out.
Oh, not among friends.
Okay, go ahead, Mary.
So in response to your specific question, Chuck, I mean, we do say it in the document, and I have it up on the screen here, and I've highlighted it. You know, before the three bullet points that we were talking about, it does say GNSO policy and implementation processes must both be based in the ICANN multi-stakeholder model. And then we go on to say to ensure this, bullet point one, bullet point two, bullet point three. So having said that, though, in terms of the comment that maybe we do no harm by repeating it, it seems to me that, you know, and I'm scrolling back down here for those in the Adobe to the comments, that the interchange that you and Avi and Marika are having go to other specific aspects of that. So, for example, talking about, you know, the role of public comments, for example, and who evaluates and what the implementation review teams do, those are pretty specific discussions that the three bullet points, which are the three general principles, don't actually address. So my suggestion here would be that when we talk about additional proposed principles, that rather than just repeat the phrase that we have in number one, policy and implementation must both be based on multi-stakeholder model, we could say, you know, as policy and implementation processes must both be based on a multi-stakeholder model, the following additional principles should also apply. And then this group, this sub-team, could then talk about what those specific additional principles might be. For example, like I said, the role of public comments or the role of an implementation team. I don't know if that would help.
I'm very happy with that, Mary. Cheryl here.
Anybody opposed to that? This is Chuck. Okay. I like the suggestion. Okay. And then we would go from there to the other principles, two and following. Is that the thinking? Or is it some other principles that we've yet to formulate?
Chuck, this is Mary. I mean, it could be both. It really depends on how much specific additional principles this group feels is important to add at this stage, or whether there's other things that you want to elaborate on from the general principle. It just seemed to me that the document seems to read as, you know, you open with a description of multi-stakeholder and the ICANN model, then you have three, well, at the moment it's three, very, you know, general statements of principle that illustrate that, and it seems that these proposed additional principles would dive a little more into specificity. But it doesn't have to be that way.
Okay. All right, so let's then move on, I think, to number two. And number two does seem to be a duplication to me, but let's look at it. So we have the GNSO policy development process must function in a bottom-up manner, except in emergency cases. We've already stated this, have we not?
Chuck, this is Mary. Yes, this is actually, I guess, the first bullet point in the general statement of principle,
right,
on page one.
So could,
yeah, Cheryl here. That could go.
Cheryl.
That can go, Chuck, yes. Remember, some of that is duplicated when the original preamble was
was written, I did make a note that there was duplications that needed to be taken out. This is one of them.
Yep. Thank you. So if there are no objections, we'll delete number two. And now I haven't glanced through all of the comments there, but if anybody wants to speak up on anything there, Nick, you had some comments there. Are you okay now on this, where we're at?
You know, I think that it might bear considering adding the – so you had suggested accept in emergency cases such as risk security and then as defined in ICANN's SSR framework. And it may bear considering adding that to the exception that's currently in the first bullet point.
Oh, so you're adding the defined – oh, that's right. Yeah, so does that work for everybody? So going back up to where we were earlier in this call, with the exception for an emergency exception like security and stability, is everybody okay with adding that qualifier as defined in ICANN's SSR framework?
Cheryl here. Yes, I most certainly am, and I also need to step away for a few minutes now.
Okay, thanks, Cheryl. Hey, appreciate all your contributions. Okay, anything else there, Nick?
Nope, I don't think so. I'm not sure if there's other comments, but that addressed mine.
Okay. All right. So is it okay to go to number three? So this one's a little lengthier. We have it up front there. I'll give everybody a chance to look at that. Raise your hand or speak out if you would like to comment. Meantime, let me just pause and be quiet and let you look at it. Here again, we're getting some duplication of what we set up above, so I think we're going to have to fix that. In fact, maybe we covered it. Have we covered number three in our in those bullets that we spent quite a bit of time on today?
It's Alan, I think so, but it disappeared before I finished reading it.
Thank you for putting that back.
Sorry, Alan is back. Chuck, this is Mary. While we're pondering this, and we haven't gotten yet to the bottom of the document, but it seems like the number of these, the ones that we're considering so far, are somewhat duplicative, as you say. So one thing that the sub-team could consider, maybe not today, but when you come back and review the whole document, is whether some of the general principles that you state in the three bullet points need further elaboration. So, for example, you know, there's a reference here to Section 14 of the GNSO PDP manual.
And how would you see the elaboration occurring? We wouldn't want to list them as separate principles. You have a thought in terms of, from an organizational point of view, structural point of view in the document, how we might do that?
Well, and you know, like I said, it may not be necessary at all. It does depend on whether or not there are any details that the group think important to include in a document as an elaboration of the general bullet points. In which case, yes, it would not be a section on additional principles, but it could be an explanatory section to follow the additional principles, for example.
And does anybody see anything in number three there, and Mary may have already mentioned at least one, that it would be helpful to add an explanatory note somewhere in here?
I'm getting so confused.
I'm sorry, Aubrey. Do you have a question?
No. I'm too confused to have a question.
Well, it is difficult because what happened was is we had these principles, and then we went back to a we decided to add this overarching principle, and then what happened was the overarching principles and some of the discussion immediately following that really absorbed some of these other things. So I think that's, at least in my mind, why there's quite a bit of confusion and why we need to clean it up.
Yeah, and I thought that Mary's proposal was that somehow all of these things became sort of, they're all derivative principles. And in other words, we put up the first principles, but the first principles are very general. Then I thought what Mary had proposed, and that it dealt with all of these in some sense, but they were all now sort of second-order principles that were derivative from the top ones that got into more specificity. And that seemed a good thing to me. But then, you know, but we haven't dealt with sort of the more internal issues of these. And, you know, perhaps I was sleeping through two. But, for example, you know, the derivative principle, you know, okay, you take out the first line and you don't say again that, but except, you know, the making the exception for emergency cases, as I said in my note, which was a note to somebody else's note, I worry about emergencies becoming the new normal. And that, you know, as opposed to always hearing it's an implementation thing, you hear it's an emergency. And you know, I know I'm being terribly negative and suspicious and everything else, but it happens. So you know, and I don't know that we had dealt with that in number three when we get to it. You know, yes, it's derivative. But we're putting in exceptions again, so I got confused at that point as to how we were sort of proceeding with this, and that's why I verbaled I'm confused.
No, that's okay. I think it's justified. And one of the things that may help us right now, this is Chuck speaking, I think 2, 3, and even 4 probably really are derivative principles. But then if you look at 5, it gets into something new. So in other words, I guess what I'm saying, if we look at the big picture, okay, I think 2, 3, and 4 are derivatives, and that if we treat them that way, that may help us get organized. 5, though, and I haven't looked ahead at 6 and 7 yet, 6 looks different. 7, again, I haven't looked at yet. But so, in other words, some of them are derivative and some of them are not. So maybe if I'm correct on that, and Alan, I'm going to give it to you next. If I'm correct on that, that may help us restructure this so that it is less confusing. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll just point out these principles came from a whole bunch of sources, and there's no reason to believe that they are wholly consistent with each other or not completely replaced or largely replaced by what we've now drafted. You know, these were essentially random inputs, and I would be worried if they all were preserved as, you know, specific examples of the earlier ones. That would likely make no sense.
Yeah, that's a good point. Thanks, Alan. Aubrey.
I think I wrote what I was going to say is that if we find principles, higher level principles that aren't reflected in the chapeau or overview as it's already written, then perhaps there's something that needs to be extracted that gets moved up to that level, and then you can continue this list as a derivative list.
Okay. Let me ask. I'm asking for a lot here for someone or maybe a couple people. Is there anybody that'd be willing, if there's agreement with the fact that some of these are derivative and some of these may not be derivatives in the same sense, is there anybody that would like to take a crack at this? Don't worry about the details so much of the of each one of the items, like 5, 6, 7, and so forth, so much as an organizational structure for the overall document, kind of a back up a step to a higher level, and maybe suggest on the list a proposed restructuring of this that would eliminate some of the confusion and maybe help the order make some sense. Alan, you're volunteering, I assume?
No, I forgot to lower my hand.
I couldn't resist, sorry.
Come on, Alan.
Is there anybody that has time or might be willing to do that? Mary's volunteering.
Chuck, and everyone, this is Mary. I'm not really volunteering because this is, I guess, you know, I'm not sure where the staff role begins and ends here, but what I am volunteering to do is to clean up the existing document somewhat along the lines of our discussion so that whoever picks it up and inserts things or moves things around will have a cleaner document to work with.
That would be great, Mary, and if you can send that around, I don't know whether I'm going to have time to do what I'm asking somebody to volunteer for. That's why I haven't just jumped out and said I'd try it, because I've got several tasks that I've got to get done in the next.
Hey Chuck, this is Nick. I'd be happy to try to take a stab after getting Mary's document.
Thanks, Nick. That would be great. And if you, so Mary, if you, how, when do you think you can get something out on the document for Nick to work with?
Well, Chuck, in view of the call next week and just looking at things, it's probably easier if I do it right after this call and get it out to you folks sometime today or early tomorrow, depending on what your time zone is.
Okay, good. That'd be great. If you can do it that quickly, I wasn't going to put you on the spot to do it that quickly, but that would be super. And then, Nick, if you can take a crack. And, Nick, again, you don't necessarily have to get into the nitty-gritty detail of each item, but if you can propose a structural change that would maybe, and then we can talk about that on the list and pick up from there in our next meeting.
Yeah, that sounds good. I think, you know, if you look at the rest of them, that there's certainly ones that can be kind of grouped together and kind of structurally changed to reflect that, so I'd be happy to try that.
Thanks, Nick. That's greatly appreciated, and that'll help all of us a lot. And if you can eliminate Aubrey's confusion along with mine, that would be great.
Can't promise that.
I know, that's a big challenge.
I'm easily confused. I apologize.
Okay, well, actually, that's very good progress, I think. And I think we're at a point then where it may be difficult to make any more specific progress today. But I see that Tom has joined us. I don't know how long ago, Tom, but let me give Tom a chance to jump in if he has anything. Even a question in terms of where we're at, that would be great. Tom?
Hi, Chuck. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
So, I did miss something, so I thought I'd keep quiet. But on number three, I'm assuming the first sentence of number three is being taken out entirely, or is that the proposed language right now?
Let me go back.
Everything to the quote mark. Is that all going away, or is that still in place?
This is where we got in, and I don't know where you jumped in, but this is where we started realizing that several of the principles, at least probably at least 2, 3, and 4, are really derivatives of the high-level principles and then those bullets that we had under there. So those particular sections may not end up being listed as separate principles, but maybe just be some portions of them may be clarified, just be clarifications of things that were said earlier. We haven't decided anything specific on the wording there. That's where we got to where we're at now.
My comment on three is that the first sentence I don't think belongs in section three at all. I think it's a different point than there are two points. One is a implementation consistent with the policy, and two, does an implementation actually create new policy?
Yeah, I
think this paragraph tries to blur the two. I don't think that's a good idea.
So Tom, let me ask Mary to scroll back up to the three. I think it ended up being three bullets that we ended up with today in a large part of our meeting, and ask you to maybe just glance at those. I think you have to go up a little bit higher to get the first bullet, from what I'm seeing on my screen. So, Tom, right here, and by the way, Mary's going to come out with a document, and it's probably easier since we only have about 5 minutes left maybe to just let you look at that, because what you're talking about relates to these three bullets that we spent a lot of time on earlier. So what I'd like to ask you to do, once Mary sends out the revised version of this for the whole sub-team, take a look at those, and then because they cover at least one of them, or maybe more than one of them, cover that first sentence in what is the old number three. So see okay. if you're okay with those. If not, please let us know why. And again, if you can do that on the list, that would help us prepare for our next meeting. Okay?
Yeah, and this helped. My only comment is the exception about the emergency perhaps should be a separate bullet, not part of the first bullet.
Yeah, I think we did. Well, I don't know. I don't remember where we ended up without looking again. But again, communicate that comment on the list. If
right.
Looking not at not what we now have as number three, kind of ignore that and go back up to the overarching principle and then the things right underneath that with the three bullets. Okay?
Yep.
Okay, so we need to talk about our next meeting. It's important that we make good progress. And by the way, I was pretty pleased with the progress today. I think we made some good progress. And with what Mary's going to do and then Nick's going to do, hopefully in our next call we can make even more progress and keep moving. Because the other major work that the working group has to do is dependent on these principles. So we need to make good progress. Now,
wasn't Cheryl here? Chuck, weren't we already agreed to be an hour and a half next week, which is our normal meeting week, and it was this one that was additional?
I think that's true. I want to confirm that right now. Is a 90-minute meeting next week, same time, same day, okay with everyone? I see a yes from Aubrey.
Yep, from me.
I'm pretty sure it's okay for me, but I guess I better check too, huh? That's the 23rd, and I have that on my calendar, so I
yep.
see I've got a little
now,
bit of overlap with another meeting, internal meeting, but I'll deal with that. So.
And I may need to be mobile or at a remote fixed line, but I'll organize that with Natalie. Okay?
We're getting used to it.
Yeah, but that one, Chuck, will be because I will be on my annual 5-day vacation. So you know.
Yeah, so you got to donate some of your vacation to us. So thank you. Appreciate
it. I can always take at least a day of it.
Okay, we just have a couple minutes left. Anything else anybody needs to add? I see some agrees there, and I assume Nick that you'll be able to. Do your little task. I don't know if it's a little task or not, maybe a big task, but you'll be able to get that done with a few days lead time before our meeting next week. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be really helpful. I appreciate that. Sorry to put you on the spot on that, but I really do appreciate that. Well, everyone, good interaction, and we're making some progress. I think with the next two tasks that Mary and Nick are doing, And if everybody else will jump in online as you can, we'll make similar progress next week. So thank you very much. Have a good rest of the week.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thank you, Chuck. Bye. Thank you, everybody. Talk to you next week. Bye.
Thank you very much. We now stop the recording.
Bye, everybody.